Hello everyone and welcome back. Emily, I know it's been pretty hot outside recently, so how have you been minding the heat outdoors?
I haven't been doing well, Claire. I gotta level with you. But working on the river, I can usually just.
No, I can't say get wet.
I can do that.
You don't want all that E. coli on you,
No,
so.
too much E. coli.
Yeah, I know for me, like when I'm outside and, going for a run or out in the garden, or literally just like chilling inside the house with the fan on, I am sweating, like drenched.
I'm sweating right now.
I know, same here. To be fair, this room is really hot. And the only way for me to cool down is through drinking lots of cold water or, of course, turning on the air conditioner. But as we all know, our body has its own method of keeping us cool through perspiration. As I was thinking about this week's episode, I thought to myself, I wonder how other organisms can keep cool in this heat. Like, you see dogs panting and sometimes pigs rolling in the mud, but what about other organisms? Do they sweat like us? And if they don't sweat, what do they do? How do these organisms cool down when there's such an intense summer heat? So, for today's episode, I want to take a look at how different critters cool down and also why that's effective for them. And during our little trivia questionnaire, I'll be asking an age-old question, but I don't want to reveal it yet. For humans, sweating involves three main types of sweat glands. The most common is the eccrine sweat gland. The other two are the apocrine and the apoecrine glands, which are not as numerous as the eccrine glands, but are important in how sweat accumulates on our skin surface. There's about 2 to 4 million eccrine sweat glands on our bodies. They are found everywhere, including places with and without hair. And just a cool tidbit, no pun intended, when we were children about ages 2 to 3, there's a set number of eccrine sweat glands, and they will remain the same as we progress into adulthood. So when you're a child, you have a higher density per square inch of skin of sweat glands than you do
Interesting.
as an adult.
I have a fun fact that I only learned somewhat recently in my mammalogy class. Did you know that the nipple is a modified sweat gland?
No, but that would make sense. Apocrine sweat glands are connected to hair follicles, which differ from the eccrine, which are just found underneath or on the skin surface. The third type, apoecrine gland, develops from the eccrine sweat glands at around the ages of 8 to 14 years old. Sweat is controlled by the nervous system and is released to the skin through the sweat glands. When the sweat comes to the skin surface, it evaporates, which cools the body. Humans sweat to cool down, but it also is believed that sweating can help to remove some toxins from our bodies. However, humans are not the only organisms that sweat. Other mammals, such as species of primates, including old world monkeys like macaques, and great apes like chimps, also sweat. Horses sweat through apocrine glands, while we call that humans do most of their sweating through the eccrine glands. Horses also have some key differences in how they sweat compared to humans. For example, if a horse is experiencing extreme levels of stress from heat or heat exhaustion or exhaustion from physical activities, they will produce a protein in the sweat that creates a white foam called lathrin. Horses also sweat about 2 times more per square inch than a human. Even when conditions are not too hot outside, horses can sweat about 2 gallons of fluid per hour. And I think when I was reading some stuff, I couldn't find like a clear answer because, of course, for every person it's different, but a person who is being physically active can sweat about like 500 milliliters per hour, or like maybe a little bit more, but that's like the average. And so horses can sweat 2 gallons when they're literally just resting.
That's insane.
Now, onto some organisms that sweat, but it's not their main way of cooling down. Cattle, sheep, and goats also produce small amounts of sweat. Cattle may be able to produce sweat for up to 10 hours, while this time period is greatly reduced in goats and sheep. The cause of this sweat results when the animals are introduced to warm environments that cause them stress. Generally, cattle, sheep, and goats will also pant or breathe faster, which is not unlike how our pets react to hot weather. Sheep and goats will also change behaviorally and look for shelter to cool themselves down and protect from the radiation. And of course, since I just brought up pets, I need to talk about our fur babies. For our dogs, the belief that dogs only pant to cool down or that they sweat only through their feet is untrue. Dogs have both apocrine and eccrine sweat glands, but they do have more apocrine sweat glands, which are the ones that are associated with the hair follicle, compared to the eccrine sweat glands, which are only found in areas that are generally hairless on dogs, so foot pads and nose. Dogs lose heat in different ways at different environmental temperatures. At temperatures less than their body temperature, for a dog, which is around 38 degrees Celsius, they can lose 40% of heat through evaporation, equal parts sweating and panting. So this is from temperature ranges of 26 to 31 degrees. And as the ambient temperature comes close to the body temperature of the dog, so the ambient temperature being around 36, there is less heat loss through the eccrine glands and more through panting. Some tips for keeping them cool throughout this hot weather include keeping lots of water available to them, having cold treats such as dog-safe ice pops, fans, cooling vests, placing a bit of rubbing alcohol on their ears, stomach, and their paws because it draws out heat faster. But I would consult a vet. This was my research, and every dog breed is different. Spraying your dog with bottles filled with cold water, even though some dogs won't like this, it might help evaporation. Giving them electrolytes and also monitoring their temperature using a rectal thermometer. And again, these suggestions all come from the American Kennel Club, so make sure you consult with your vet and do your own research specific to your breed of dog and helping them remain cool for the rest of the summer months. Cats also sweat through their nose and paws. However, cats will groom themselves more when they need to stay cool. So they lick themselves and their saliva will evaporate off their fur, and this is similar how sweat will evaporate off us and keep us cool. And here's some tips for helping your cats out in the summer months. So make sure to have lots of fresh water available, keeping your outdoor cats inside during times of the day where there's extreme heat. If you do not keep your outdoor cats inside, please ensure that there's fresh water in different places around your yard so that they're able to keep hydrated. Make sure that temperatures are cool in your house, either using fans or ACs. And brush your cat's hair to ensure that all their winter fur is out. Having a cool spot and ice for your cat is also important for helping them to cool down. Another reminder just for you pet owners out there is to keep in mind that your pets use their fur to help them cool, and it is also acting as an insulator. So when you're getting your pet groomed for the summer, don't shave them all the way down unless you do your research to see if it's best for your dog breed, because it could cause them to actually have heat exhaustion. Now, let's move on to those animals that do not sweat in the conventional way and how they keep cool. An example of evaporating cooling is in birds. So there's two ways that I found that were quite interesting. And the first is gular fluttering. So the gular is a plate in the mouth of the bird, and also it's found in reptiles. And fluttering will allow for a different frequency. When birds do this gular fluttering, it allows them to have heat loss over their oral membranes, and it doesn't demand as much energy as it would when they're panting. So some birds do pant, but this gular fluttering is a way for them to cool down without expending a lot of energy. Mm. And the other method is known as urohydrosis. So Emily, any guesses as to what that is?
Urohydrosis. Does that have something to do with, like, peeing?
No, we're very close. So urohydrosis is when storks, or anything related to storks, defecate on their own legs as a way to cool themselves through evaporative cooling. Now you're probably thinking, what the heck, that doesn't seem very effective. And I think, personally, when I first saw this, I was like, yeah, this doesn't seem like it would work all that well. But I guess evolution, you know, they're still around, so... I read this paper by Cabello, Virgil et al. In 2023, and they stated that the cooling effect only lasts for about 2.5 minutes, and then these storks can do it up to 11 times per hour. So they'll defecate 11 times per hour on their legs to keep them cool during extreme heat. And obviously, in order for them to do this, they must remain hydrated. We all know how organisms evade the cold through winter months, through hibernation. But what about the ones that do so in the summer? This process is known as estivation. Both these processes allow for the organism to not have to meet the demands of energy required for them to perform all their metabolic processes. Estivation is used in earthworms, lungfish, and snails during times of drought to help them from drying out. Now, onto everyone's favorite notorious drug-loving hippos. I'm kidding, of course, but I am referencing a previous episode that Emily did about Pablo Escobar's hippos, which everybody should check out right after this episode. Hippos cool themselves down by avoiding thermal stress altogether. So generally, they try to avoid any type of thermal stress. This means that they spend a majority of their time in the water when it's hot outside, or wallowing. So we'll talk about this a little bit later, but basically when you roll around in mud or water, and then that water will evaporate off your skin. It's another form of evaporative cooling. And I don't know, Emily, if you've heard about the red sweat, or the blood sweat of hippopotamuses. Yeah, okay, so we're going to talk about that a little bit. It's technically not sweat. I mean, it's not produced in the same way that we would produce our sweat. And it's also not blood. The secretion, which comes out of the hippo's skin as colorless, comes from glands below their 2-inch thick hides. And it is very viscous. Hippos are extremely sensitive to heat. And the original secretion is colorless, but it will turn into a crimson or a red, which looks similar to the color of blood after it hits the air. The function of this secretion is similar to how we use sweat to cool down by evaporation. However, this secretion also has many other benefits to hippos. Due to their sensitivity to heat and radiation, this secretion also acts similar to the function of sunscreen. And actually, there's been research by Japanese researchers to use these naturally occurring acids for commercial production of human sunscreen. The secretion can also act as an antiseptic when there is a serious wound, especially after a fight. This secretion is beneficial for helping to reduce any type of infection that the hippo might experience. But there's also a lot of lore about this blood sweat or this red sweat. And I don't want to go too much into it, but I had to mention it because it was just really fascinating to me. The Egyptians thought that hippos would purposely make themselves bleed when they were in stress, in bad health, or they were too big. And they thought the hippos would, like, cut themselves on the reeds that they would find in the river. And after they bled, they would come out much more robust. So Egyptian doctors started prescribing bleeding to their patients, which eventually led, through miscommunication, Western science performing bloodletting up until very recently.
Well, now, how recently?
Yeah, I don't know about that one. Hi, everyone. So I just wanted to do a small interjection. I was looking at bloodletting just to give you guys a little bit more information. And it's still being used today, but in a different way. It's not as prevalent as it had been in the past. And it is used for a few different types of conditions, as well as using a leech therapy, which is a way to do bloodletting where you attach leeches to you and then they basically just suck your blood. So it's still being used today, but the practice isn't as prevalent as it has been in the past. And speaking of weird substances that are used to keep cold in the hot weather, short-beaked echidnas use snot bubbles to cool themselves down. Living in the Australian heat, these short-beaked echidnas are unable to produce sweat pant, or groom themselves with their own saliva. They occasionally will go in the water if they're out on a hot day, but this is not the most effective way for them to lose heat. Using infrared technology, a relatively new study monitored the heat of 124 echidnas over the course of a year. They observed that the beaks would be up to 10 degrees Celsius cooler than the rest of the body. It was observed that when they would get too hot, they would blow snot bubbles that would collapse over their beak and allow for heat to escape. Since a lot of the blood travels through the beak, this allowed for rapid cooling of the blood, which would then circulate throughout the body, ultimately cooling their internal body temperatures. However, there was also another way that was found that these short-beaked echidnas do to reduce heat. Their spines on their backs are hollow, and when they want to cool down, they will curve their spines up, and it allows for the release of heat. So these spines actually act as an insulator. Although these next two organisms have an enormous difference in size, the one thing they have in common is the way that they keep cool. The hare and the African elephant both use their ears as one way to lower their body temperature during the summer. Hares have those cute, I won't say little, but large ears that stick up. And although they are very cute, they're also very functional. If the ambient temperature outside is higher than the body temperature, the size of the blood vessels in their ears will increase. So the diameter of the blood vessels will increase, which allows for effective heat loss. This helps to conserve moisture by avoiding panting and also sweating. The ears of African elephants account for about 20% of their total surface area. There are many tiny blood vessels in the ears, and when they flap them, this creates a breeze and it can cool down their body temperature, but also cool down the blood supply, which can be about 12 liters of blood per minute in the ears that is circulating through. This can effectively cool their body temperature by a whopping 3 degrees Celsius. Elephants also use shade, mud, and water to help them cool down. When elephants spray their body with mud or water, it collects in their wrinkles and hairs, which will then evaporate, keeping them cool. The hair on the elephant is another way that they keep cool, as it draws away some of the heat from their body surface. But Emily, I ask you, what if you're living in an arid environment for the majority of the year? How would you keep cool then? There's barely any water, there's no shade, what do you do?
Dig a hole.
Well, although...
climb in and then bury yourself.
And I didn't get into hiding that lizards often do, but I found some other kind of like weird ways that organisms in arid environments, especially in different regions in Africa, will do to keep themselves a bit cooler. So let's take a look at one of those air-dwelling organisms, the Cape ground squirrel. Dun, dun, dun. These squirrels will use their bushy tails to create shade and will angle their backs facing towards the sun so they can get the maximum amount of shade while they look for their food.
That's so cute.
It was really cute. And I'm going to obviously post pictures because, oh my gosh, it was adorable. And since there's not a lot of shade in these areas, this is super effective and it's a great way for them to cool down. Camels are another organism that can sweat. However, they don't really use it that often, and there are a few other ways that camels can cool down in extreme heats. Camels easily deal with both extreme colds and hots in their environments. They store fat in their humps, and they burn these reserves, releasing heat, and this can help them regulate their body temperature. Another ungulate that has some neat adaptations to arid environments is the antelope. Some species of antelope do not drink surface water, but instead they will eat the freshest vegetation to get their daily water intake. They will also remain in standing positions when the weather is hot during midday. Since the ground temperature is a lot hotter than the air temperature, it reduces the risk of overheating. There's also some evidence that I read that their horns might actually help reduce internal body temperatures. And lastly, I want to talk about a cool little feller that when I searched up weird ways that animals cool down, it came up all the time. This one organism came up all of the time. And that is the thorny devil. The thorny devil is an Australian lizard that lives in arid regions. When these thorny devils stand in water, they can fill the capillaries that they have within their skins. And I don't know how much you know about capillary action, Emily, or for you listeners out there, but you know when you dip a paper towel in water, just like the very tip of it, and then you see all the water rise up? That would be capillary action. So this lizard uses that in obtaining some of their water. And although they can drink water, they tend to go without it for about 6 to 8 months of the year because they're unable to find it. So how do they get these capillaries filled when there's no water around? Well, these organisms can stand on moist sand and absorb the little amounts of water through their capillaries into their skin. And this helps them to keep cold.
It's crazy.
Isn't that insane? And they look so strange.
Aren't those like the lizards that can like shoot blood out of their eye or something? Or am I?
I don't know.
Let's see.
This is what they look like.
But see if they can shoot blood out of their eye.
Shooting blood, yeah!
Dang!
Watch a video.
Isn't that crazy?
They have a false head. Oh my gosh, all these things. I guess we're gonna have to do an episode about thorny lizards, because what the heck? No, that's terrifying. I can't.
Okay, that's fake, obviously.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, that's whack. That's such a whack defense strategy.
It would work on me.
Yeah.
I can tell you that.
Yep, for sure. Okay, so that's all the information I had, but we're going to go on to the next segment in a minute. But Emily, do you have any final remarks about this? Anything new that you learned?
I wish I could have implemented some of this advice into my summer season, but it's coming to an end.
Yeah.
If only I knew I could have waved myself with my big ears or
expanded
on my legs. Or yeah.
You could have pooped on your legs, honestly.
If I thought of it, I would have.
Yeah. Okay. Let's move on to everybody's favorite segment of any single podcast out there ever.
Trivia.
Emily, true or false?
False.
True or false? Sweat has odor but no color. There are bacteria on our skin that can create the color.
That sounds true.
It's false. Sweat is both odorless and colorless, and the bacteria on the skin produce both. So it was a bit of a trick question. Okay, I talked about hibernation and I talked about estivation. But what is torpor? And I will give you four options. A way to decrease energy demands that only happens in the spring. A way to decrease energy demands that only happens in the fall. A way to decrease energy demands that happens at any season for part of the day. A way to decrease energy demands that happens at any part of the day, but only during the summer months.
What? Okay, so we've got summer.
So we've got spring, only in the spring, only in the fall. At any season, for any part of the day. Any part of the day, but only in the summer.
Oh, no. Only in the summer.
A way to decrease energy demand that happens in any season for any part of the day. So this is a strategy that hummingbirds used when they don't get enough energy throughout the day to create or to maintain their metabolic processes, and they kind of go into this like hibernation like state which they can easily come out of.
Interesting. They probably use a lot of calories, hey, those bad boys.
Oh my gosh, I saw a beautiful hummingbird today when I was out plucking weeds. It was like, I didn't see the red belly like you usually see. It was more blue.
Oh, mine's kind of blue today, too.
Ooh, maybe it was the same one.
I was far away.
Oh. Now, for the age-old question, the myth-busting of all myth-busting. Emily, we've all heard the phrase, sweat like a pig, meaning that you are sweating heavily. Do pigs sweat heavily?
Define heavily.
Like, you know when you say, I'm sweating like a pig, you're completely drenched. Your whole body is, like, there's like water all over you, like you feel gross.
Do I think pigs sweat more than people?
No. Or just as much as people?
It can't possibly be the exact same. Well, okay, you gave the example of like rolling around in mud. Maybe pigs don't sweat as much because they roll around instead. So I'm going to say no. I think pigs get a bad rap.
And you're actually right. So no, pigs do not sweat heavily. Pigs actually have very few sweat glands, and it doesn't actually help them with temperature regulation at all. Pigs use the thyroid gland and a hormone called thyroxin to control their body heat, being produced by switching on or off the thyroxin. Behaviorally, like I mentioned before, pigs will wallow, and this is why we see pigs rolling around in mud or water. This acts as the same kind of purpose as it sweat does for humans, and this is why it's very important for pigs to have access to mud or water in their pens. The water will evaporate off the skin and cool down the pigs. So, that answers that question for everybody. So when you say, sweat like a pig, just letting you know, pigs don't sweat, so you can't really use it in a literal sense, but I'll still be using it. So just to end off the episode with a little PSA for all of you out there this summer, and I know we're halfway through, but it gets hot into October, so it's good. And with climate change,
it's gonna just keep getting hotter.
Yeah. And that's something I didn't talk about this episode, but of course with climate change and unpredictable weather patterns, these organisms are at a much more, they have higher vulnerability to these temperature changes, and some of these methods might not work as efficiently anymore. So for example, like storks, they can only cool down for 2.5 minutes and they have to replenish. Like, they do have to obtain a lot of water, and there is a way for them to cool down other than that, but that's the most effective way for them. Then, if they're not able to hydrate, there's not as much water available for them, or it's much hotter, you know, then they won't be able to complete these ways of that they've evolved to deal with these temperatures. And I think in the Thorny Devil paper that I read, they're only, like, this process only allows them to still waddle out in degrees up to 37 degrees Celsius, mm-hmm. or maybe to 40. But again, like, with temperatures increasing, that might be much, much hotter for them. So they might not even, this might not even be as effective anymore. Yeah, so for those of you out there who are enjoying the hot summer weather, make sure you know the signs of heat stroke and heat exhaustion. And if you're outside a lot, make sure you wear breathable clothing, apply sunscreen, stay hydrated, ensure you consume electrolytes, especially if you're sweating a lot. Don't go outside if you can help it during the times of the day when it's hot, and limit the physical activity during these hot times. Also, make sure that you check in on your elderly and children as they're the most vulnerable. And remember to stay safe out there and protect yourself in the hot weather. So that's it for today's episode.
I just wanted to say thank you to everyone who decided to come out to the Jijiwuktuk Watershed Alliance's garbage cleanup. We removed 300 pounds of trash from Mill Brook, and I think that was a smashing success. If you would still like to join us on our summer activities, we have one last event. We have a BioBlitz, which is happening in Miners Marsh in Kentville on August 10th, coming up soon.
Yeah, we'll both be there. So if you want to meet your favorite podcasters... All you people in Iowa or Idaho or whatever.
Yeah, if you're from Council Bluffs,
you can come up and meet us. Yeah, but it's going to be great. I love a good bio blitz. All right, and that's everything. So check out our Instagram page where I'll be posting some of these cool organisms. Maybe I'll post a picture of the thorny devil shooting blood out of its eyes, but it's kind of graphic, so I don't know. We'll see. And we hope this episode was
right up your algae.